5. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. भूतानां देवचरितां दुःखाय च सुखाय च सुखा एव हि साधूनां त्वदृशम् अच्युतात्मनां. भूतानां देवचरितां दुःखाय च सुखाय च सुखा एव हि साधूनां त्वदृशम् अच्युतात्मनां. भूतानां देवचरितां दुःखाय च सुखाय च सुखायैव हि साधूनां त्वदृशम् अच्युतात्मनां. भूतानां देवचरितां दुःखाय च सुखाय च दुःखायैव हि साधूनां त्वदृशम् अच्युतात्मनां. भूतानां देवचरितं दुःखाय च सुखाय च सुखायैव हि साधूनां त्वदृशामच्युतात्मनां. भूतानां देवचरितां दुःखाय च सुखाय च सुखायैव हि साधूनां त्वदृशामच्युतात्मनां. माताजी, भूतानां देवचरितां दुःखाय च सुखाय च दुःखायैव हि साधूनां त्वदृशामच्युतात्मनां. भूतानां ऑफ द लिविंग बीइंग्स देवचरितां द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ डेमिगॉड्स दुखाय रिजल्ट इन द माइजरी च ऑल्सो सुखाय इन हैप्पीनेस च एज वेल सुखाय इन हैप्पीनेस एव ओनली ही इंडीड साधूनाम दैट ऑफ सेंट्स त्वादृशाम like you, Achyuta, the infallible Supreme Lord, Atmanam, who have accepted as their very soul. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The activities of demigods led to both misery and happiness for living beings. But the activities of great saints like you, who have accepted the infallible Lord as their very soul, result only in the happiness of all beings. Purport. This verse clearly states that the pure devotees of the Lord, such as Narad Muni, are saintly persons, to be considered superior even to the demigods. The living beings empowered by the Supreme Lord to administer the entire universe. In Bhagavad Gita 3.12, it is stated, Istan bhoganahi vo deva dashyante yajna bhavaitaha tair datna apradayabhyo yo bhunkte stena evasa. The demigods in charge of the various necessities of life, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, supply all necessities to man. But one who enjoys these gifts without offering them in return to the demigods is certainly a thief. In this connection, Srila Prabhupada has made the following comment regarding the demigods. The demigods are empowered administrators of material affairs. They supply the supply of air, light, water, and other blessings for maintaining the body and the soul of all living entities are entrusted to the demigods, who are innumerable assistants in the different parts of the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their pleasure and displeasure depend on the performance of yajnas by the human being. This is a very long purport. We will incorporate aspects, different aspects of the purport in our today's discussion. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapad Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriya Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrunda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna. So in this shloka, there are three aspects that demigods give pleasure, happiness and misery, sometimes dukhayacha, misery, and sometimes sukhayacha. But the sadhunam, sukha aiva hi, the pure devotees, the great saints, who have accepted the Supreme Lord, infallible Lord as their very soul, their activities result only sukha aiva hi. This hi word which is used in this shloka, it emphasizes the point that definitely, sometimes in different Indian languages, we use, like in Gujarati, ah. But when you want to emphasize aja, or in Marathi he, but we want to emphasize, we say hech, or Hindi yah, but yahi. So these words are used to emphasize a particular point. Okay, this is definitely is the thing. So here in this word, sukha aiva hi, this word is used, that he means that indeed, that pure devotee's activities result only in the happiness of the all living beings. So demigods are considered, Srila Prabhupada writes in different pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, they have taken shelter of the arms of the Lord. They are managers, like managers of a prison house, or they are considered as a tax collectors, or they are sometimes identified as a first class prisoners in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, we have different beds, general ward, class 2, AC general ward, triple sitter, twin sharing, and there are some rooms which are called as deluxe rooms, or some rooms are called as super deluxe rooms. So in this material world, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that demigods have a body, what is called as a deluxe material form. It's called as deluxe form. The highest form in this human, in this material world is obtained by demigods. And it is said that who are demigods? Demigods are those living entities who agree to abide, obey the injunctions of the revealed scriptures. They are demigods. So as the object, as the activity of a hand for alms is to deliver something, and the same hands can sometimes punish us as well. A tax collector will reward as well as he will give the punishment as well. Or the officer or in charge of a prisoners, his job is to that provide everything to in the prison house and maintain law and order. So this way, demigods, also in the Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned, are like leaves of trees. Through the leaves of the trees, sometimes you can see sun, sometimes you cannot see sun. Sometimes you can see moon, and sometimes you get darkness. But these leaves are completely dependent on the trunk and the roots of the trees, that is Supreme Personality of Godhead. We see sometimes sun gives warmth, light and comfort. But same sun, during devastation, he burns everything. It's intense heat. Wind provides the air. But when it transforms into hurricane, it can destroy everything. Fire God. Fire God helps us in getting our food, in digesting our food for the fire sacrifices. But the same fire God takes the form of a devastation. Like we know in Khandava one pastime, how he, in the forest, when the two leaves or the two trunks get friction and the fire is created, it can destroy the entire forest. Similar about the rains as well. Same rain, when it is in excessive form, can cause devastation through floods. In individual demigods, Indra, the king of the demigods, we know the pastimes in Vrindavan. When his ego gets hurt, how he can create trouble, difficulty and pain for the inhabitants, innocent inhabitants of Vrindavan. Same Indra, when his position, he feels, is going to be in danger, he doesn't mind even stealing horse into the sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj and create so much of disturbance for other living entities. Brahmaji, the original creator, Brahmaji himself, when he gives blessings to various demons, because of those blessings, same Brahmaji who provides everything, he is the original father of every living entity under the guidance of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Same Brahmaji's blessings can create so much of a havoc in human society for living entity through these various demons and their blessings. Even Brahmaji's, his own activity of creation, in the daylight he creates demigods, but through the back portion of his, when he creates demons, these very demons, Rakshasas and Yakshas, they try to devour, they try to eat Brahmaji himself. Srila Prabhupada writes that there are certain sections of living beings, they eat their own grandfather. So this way, Brahmaji's own activity, and Brahmaji has to painfully he has to protect himself, saying that I am your father. So similarly, Brahmaji's activities are also, it can be painful for himself. Lakshmi Devi's absence creates misery. Lakshmi Devi's overabundance also creates misery. And what to speak of so many other demigods like Shani, Rahu, they create so much of difficulty through their presence into the lives of living beings. But here, the word which is mentioned is sadhu. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Srila Prabhupada writes, sadhu means one who follows Vedic injunctions and who is a devotee of the Lord. There is a beautiful shloka in Lord Kapila's instruction to his mother. Titikshavah karunikaha sahradah sarvadehi nama ajat shatravah shantaha sadhavah sadhu bhushanaha. Here the characteristics of a sadhu is explained. The symptom of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, friendly to all living beings. He has no enemies. He is peaceful and he abides by the scriptures, and all his characters are sublime. Let us see what is the difference in the shloka. Further shloka, Lord Kapila explains, Aya annena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dradam mat krute tyakta karmanas tyakta svajana bandhava. Such a sadhu engages in staunch devotional service unto the Supreme Lord without deviation. For the sake of the Lord, and he renounces all the other connections such as family, relationships, friendly acquaintances within this world. This is the difference between a demigod and a sadhu. Further, it is mentioned, Mad ashrayaha katha srushta shrunvanti kathayanti cha tapanti vivida tapastha naitan madra gata chetasaha. Engaged in constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with the thoughts of my pastimes and activities. We see in the lives of demigods, so many times they are surrounded by such miseries which afflict their very lives. But here it is mentioned that sadhus do not suffer from the material miseries because they are always absorbed in the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord. There is another very beautiful shloka which mentions that we see demigods, they try to rule their planetary systems under the guidance of Supreme Personality of Godhead. At the same time, they have anxiety to maintain their own positions which they have acquired in the process. But Lord Kapil says that, my dear mother, devotees who receive transcendental opulences, what opulences? They can achieve Satyalok, Tapalok, all the 8 mystic siddhis and everything. Yet they are never bereft of them. These opulences cannot be taken away from them by any weapon or with the change of time. These opulences cannot be destroyed. Why? Because these devotees have accepted me as their friend, relative, son, preceptor, benefactor and supreme deity. They cannot be deprived of their possessions at any time. Here, the shloka, it is said, Tvadrasham achyut atmanam. Atmanam is those who have accepted the Supreme Personality of Godhead as their very soul. So this shloka explains what it means that sadhus, Vaishnavas, have accepted Supreme Personality of Godhead as the very soul. Yesterday and day before yesterday, the very beautiful description about Narad Muni speakers were explaining. In the same context, we can see how a Vaishnava, how a sadhu gives happiness to everyone. Here it is that the activities, those who have accepted the infallible Lord as their very soul, their activities result only in the happiness of all beings. Not some selected people or selected situation, but his happiness delivered through the activities of a sadhu is for everyone. Let us see some examples through the pages of our shastras. In Narad Muni's life, we see that a snake which was creating lot of trouble to the villagers, and when they complained to Narad Muni, and when Narad Muni told that snake that you should not bite everyone, that created a happiness for the villagers, because now that tormenting factor was not there in village. But the reverse thing happened. The snake started getting bitten by everybody, and he became emaciated and was on the verge of death. And Narad Muni told him that, I told you not to bite, but I didn't tell you that do not show your poisonous teeth. That way, the happiness was there for everyone. A pure devotee, through his actions, through his instructions, he cannot see a pain and misery for anyone. In the life of Murugari, we see that half killed animals were left behind to die in utter painful situation. Narad Muni saved those animals, and Narad Muni saved even the Murugari, the person who was committing these crimes, by giving him the highest knowledge. Just imagine Prahlad Maharaj's in past time. Demigods have conquered the Hiranyakashipu's kingdom. They were about to kill pregnant wife of Hiranyakashipu. How much painful, how much miserable that situation was. How much fearful that situation was there. And immediately Narad Muni comes and abstains demigods from killing Prahlad Maharaj's mother, and brings her in his hermitage and helps her, gives her the highest knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Through her, it is received by Prahlad Maharaj, and then Prahlad Maharaj's story is there for us to eternally take inspiration and have joy in hearing those pastimes in Krishna consciousness. Personality like Narad Muni give happiness to everyone, even at the cost of their own comfort and happiness. In the pastime of Daksha Maharaj, we see to deliver the living entities, Narad Muni instructs Daksha Maharaj's children about the highest Krishna consciousness, and they live. And in the process, Daksha Maharaj curses Narad Muni that you will never be able to stay at one place ever. And Narad Muni accepts that particular curse as a blessing. And he continues to his activity of delivering every living entity. We see in the life of Mahatma Vidur, Srila Prabhupada writes at one particular point that sadhu and Mahatma, these words are synonyms. That they are same. In the life of Mahatma Vidur, we see that since his childhood, he provided comfort and happiness to everyone. Yudhishthira Maharaj writes that you protected us during our childhood just like a mother bird protects its baby through her wings. You protected us from the heat of the envy of Duryodhan through your protective wings. Whether it was a Lakshagru, whether it was in the assembly, Mahatma Vidur was always protector of Vaishnavas. Why only Vaishnavas? Mahatma Vidur was also protector of very envious people who had envy against him. He was always a benefactor, always a well-wisher of Dhritarashtra Maharaj. And he always provided him guidance so that his nefarious activities can be at least stopped. Even when Mahatma Vidur leaves the entire assembly because of the harsh words piercing Mahatma Vidur's eyes and hearts. When Mahatma Vidur leaves his arrow, bow and arrow, at the gate of the kingdom, it is said that this bow and arrow was the most powerful weapon which was there in the kingdom of Kurukshetra. It was called as Govardhan. And it was extremely powerful weapon. But without throwing a single arrow, Mahatma Vidur left. And when he came back, that time also, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, when after the war is over, after visiting all the holy places of Supreme Personality of Godhead, where he has visited, and meeting Maitreya Muni and Uddhava, when Mahatma Vidur enters Hastinapur, the joy and happiness which he gives to Pandavas, Draupadi, Mother Kunti, Gandhari, even Dhritarashtra, it's extremely nicely explained that how they were feeling joyful as if the life has entered into a dead body. And here also, even that very Dhritarashtra who is the source of destruction of entire Kuru dynasty, Mahatma Vidur gives him solace, comfort and happiness. Sometimes pure devotees give happiness even through their harsh words. His very harsh words makes Dhritarashtra leave this so-called comfort of material world and attain a position of a highest yogi. Similarly, Narad Muni's harsh curse, apparently harsh curse to Nalakuver and Manigriv, was for ultimate benefit of them, where they got a pastime to see the pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is explained that this activity of a pure devotee bringing living entity to the lotus feet of Supreme Lord is like a huge boat going in a deep waters without knowing that the inhabitants of the boat, they don't know that this boat is going to go into the deep dark region, and they all are very happily enjoying the ride in this boat. And a sadhu who comes across the shore alone, swimming and trying to get the residents of this boat to come out of the boat, to bring them out of the danger and take them swimming across the waters against the current back to the shore, that is the position of a sadhu. And in the process, sometimes the inhabitant also hurl bad words. They hurl the objects and try to hurt a pure devotee. Similarly, through the activities of a pure devotee to bring them to the back home, back to Godhead, sometimes devotees have got pure devotees. Even to give happiness to other, they suffer lot of discomfort. Just imagine what would have been our situation without Srimad Bhagavatam in this material world. When the Supreme Lord left this material world, it is said that when the darkness set in after Lord left this world, a sun arises on the horizon through the personal form of Supreme Lord in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Narad Muni, through his words and through his instructions, he removed the lamentation of Vyasdev. Vyasdev was in tremendous lamentation after creating all these Puranas. But through his lamentation and through his instructions, Narad Muni removed that lamentation and instructed him to give Srimad Bhagavatam to this world. And by this, For eternal happiness of all living entities, Narad Muni provided this Srimad Bhagavatam to us. Also, we see that in the life of Srila Prabhupada, we hear Narad Muni in different aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam, but same very Narad Muni comes in one of the pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. In one of the Western world programs, in the initial, very initial days, devotees made so much of effort, they spent so much of money to arrange a program of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, when he went there, very few people came in that lecture. And devotees were despondent. They said, Srila Prabhupada, we are sorry, we couldn't get enough people. And what Srila Prabhupada said? Why? Narad Muni was there, Vyasadeva was there. So this is how pure devotee sees the happiness in every situation. In the life of Haridas Thakur, we see that a devotee's life's every aspect is meant to give pleasure to others. When he was chanting in a cave, a snake came and Narad Muni provided a comfort to the snake. But then that very snake was causing discomfort to the other devotees. That snake left quietly that particular cave. In the pastime of a prostitute, pastimes of a prisoners into the king's prison house, and even to his own tormentors, Haridas Thakur gave happiness to everyone. Those people who wanted to kill him, when they felt that they will be killed if Haridas Thakur is not killed, he said, no problem. For your pleasure, for your comfort, I am ready to even die. This is the character of a pure devotee. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj said, there's devotees like Haridas Thakur take so much of unsurmountable pain in their life so that next generation of Vaishnavas get comfortable. They can get Krishna consciousness without much difficulty. Vasudev Dutt leper, he was not ready to give pain to the very worms which were eating away his body. In the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see that how much pain and trouble he took to give comfort and happiness to the others. When the ghosts were troubling certain village, he went with Srimad Bhagavatam, delivered Srimad Bhagavatam, even at the personal cost of his own life. In the story of Bhishaksen, we see that his life, his family members were in a grave risk of death. And yet, to give happiness to others, he took that risk and delivered this world from the tormentors like Bhishaksen. He took a position of a judge. In fact, he was such a great Vaishnava, a pure devotee, that he gave even pleasure to his own employers, apparent employers, Britishers, through his expertise in his profession as a judge. The foreign rulers of this country, they were also happy by his activities. And in the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, we see how his every activity was meant to give spiritual happiness to others. In a great debate that who is a Brahman and who is a Vaishnava, after the end of the debate, he created so much of a joy and respect and love amongst the entire masses that everybody wanted to wash his feet. Even those who were opposing, they were also. He created so much of joy and happiness in his heart. And the most important thing, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he, through his greatest act of mercy, he delivered us, Srila Prabhupada, as his foremost disciples. It is said that once His Grace Govind Prabhu was giving class and he said that as Supreme Personality of Godhead comes, he takes birth in this world to remove the burden of this earth. Similarly, walking in their footsteps, in His footsteps, Supreme Lord's footsteps, pure devotees never become burden to anybody. Rather, they help to relieve the burden of the living entities. Srila Prabhupada, when he went first time to the West, Shelly Agarwal's house fridge contains meat. And yet, Srila Prabhupada never made them uncomfortable, because of the meat in their fridge. Michael Grant's story of my, in the book, His Holiness Mukundas Goswami Maharaj very beautifully writes. In fact, the whole book begins with this particular episode where Michael Grant has been found in the association of those people who were taking drugs, although he was not taking. And he was found to be in the next room of a small teenage girl who was in the effect of these drugs. And that time, he was arrested. And Mukund Goswami Maharaj writes that by even hippie standard, this crime was very, very serious. And he said, my professionals, colleagues, my friends, my relatives, everybody left me. And I was in a great despondency, alone. Nobody was with me because the crime was of such a magnitude. Although he has not committed that crime. And that time, one phone call comes. And the phone call is from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada asks, there has been some trouble, Michael Grant? And Mukund Maharaj writes, that one single phone call in my utter despondency completely melted my heart. And that day, I surrendered myself at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj once said that Srila Prabhupada's every word, every act, every look, every step was meant for giving Krishna conscious happiness to others. Why about human beings? We see in the life of Srila Prabhupada, even mosquitoes, scorpions and spiders. Once Hari Sauri Prabhu, His Grace Hari Sauri Prabhu writes that he tried to kill one mosquito in Srila Prabhupada's net. And Srila Prabhupada, what did you do? And luckily that mosquito just flew off. He was not killed, so Srila Prabhupada was happy. There is one beautiful pastime in Srila Prabhupada's life that one Brijvasi, he was a small boy. His name was Kishanlal Sharma. He was a son of a milkman. Srila Prabhupada used to go with his still tiffin to take milk as a madhukari in this shop. And that boy will come. Sometimes when Srila Prabhupada will not go, that boy will come to deliver milk to Srila Prabhupada. And he says, he writes, now he's an elderly person. He writes that Srila Prabhupada had lot of affection towards us. And we had a lot of love and appreciation for him. And he writes that one day, when I went with my milk can to Srila Prabhupada, and the door was partially closed, and through the door I could see that Srila Prabhupada was chanting. He gives the description of the room, the dilapidated room, the wall doesn't have plasters, ground is of mud, some twigs have grown from the ground, and Srila Prabhupada was chanting. And while chanting, he saw his eyes were closed and tears were coming from his eyes. And he was wondering whether to wake up Srila Prabhupada or not. And to his utter horror, he saw a scorpion, slowly, very deadly poisonous scorpion walking towards Srila Prabhupada. And he was wondering whether to wake up Srila Prabhupada or not. But for a long time, Srila Prabhupada was closed, with his eyes closed, he was chanting. And at one point, he couldn't wait after apparently a very long time. He called, Prabhu, Prabhu. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at him. A nice description, it says that he slowly opened his eyes, which were wet with tears. When he looked at me, his glance was so deep with feelings and mercy. He just looked at me and then looked down at the scorpion. I asked if I could sweep it from the room. In gentle, grave voice, he answered, no. No, please don't worry about it. Don't disturb. He is also a devotee. This is how a pure devotee gives pleasure to everyone. The same boy, when he became big, and he came to know that Srila Prabhupada has come now with so many Vaishnavas, Western Vaishnavas, and as was the enthusiasm and eagerness, one day Srila Prabhupada was walking through Keshighat, and he eagerly went to see Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was surrounded with all his sannyasis and disciples, and suddenly Srila Prabhupada looked at him. His eyes met this boy who was far away, and he immediately called him. He indicated him to come. And he told his disciples, "Oh, this is my boy, my old friend. He brought me milk and helped me before when I had nothing." And then Srila Prabhupada from his neck removed a necklace which was made of some costly stones given by some devotee. He broke that necklace and presented that boy a few of these stones, and he writes that even today my wife wears those stones as earrings in her eyes. How much joy, how much happiness Srila Prabhupada gave to that boy of a milkman who had not seen Srila Prabhupada for so many years. We see in the lives, our own lives, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, he spends so much of time with different devotees throughout the world to give pleasure, happiness. Srila Prabhupada has given us so many sons of His all over the world. His disciples are spending time to give happiness to everyone. I can just share few incidences through unlimited pastimes. I'll try to share. Once our hospital was closed for a long time, and the situation was very, very grave. We tried everything, but we couldn't find a solution. And it appeared that we were in a dark tunnel with no light to be seen anywhere. And we were not sure what is to be done. And I still remember once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj called His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu and he said, "No matter what happens, but remember one thing. Krishna is still standing in three bent form in Vrindavan and playing His flute, and Radharani is still, she is a queen of Barsana. Let that, this reality not be taken away under whatever circumstance it may be." And to the devotees in the hospital, this statement gave so much of a comfort, so much of a pleasure in our heart. And after some time, things got cleared up. Once there was an annual day festival in our hospital, and His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj had come, and it was a late evening. He had come traveling all day in the traffic, and he was supposed to go back. And I thought I will request him for a dinner. And I said, "Maharaj, would you like to take some prasad?" Maharaj said, "No." And then after some time, few devotees suggested, "You can ask again. Try again." So I again asked Maharaj, "Would you like to take some prasad?" And this time, mercifully, Maharaj said, "Yes." So immediately, all the machineries got activated, and there were three items, we thought, hot dosas, sambar, spinach, and mudi, kurmura. So everything was arranged, and Maharaj, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj came. Dosa was there. And to my utter horror, the dosa was completely cold. It was a winter. And we know the dosa, when it becomes cold, you cannot break it. So it was just not possible to eat the dosas. And I started shivering. Then I thought, Maharaj asked, what is this in the cup? I said, Maharaj, it's a spinach soup. And he just took it and it was cold. Maharaj couldn't even drink that. And now I was hoping against hope on the kurmuras, mudis. And as my destiny was there, kurmura came perfectly half burnt and half kacha. And that particular moment, I still remember, if Mother Earth would have given me the space to hide, I would have joyfully accepted that proposition. Fortunately, that proposition was not given to me. And then, Maharaj, why fortunately? That comes now. Maharaj asked me, Giriraj Prabhu, what is this soup? And I said, Maharaj, it's a spinach soup. And Maharaj said, Giriraj Prabhu, in my humble opinion, we don't call spinach soup. We call it as a spinach soup. And he started laughing. And you know how Maharaj laughs. And Niranjan Maharaj started laughing. Exuberant laughter. Completely lifting me from my utter despondency. And then they were walking. And then Maharaj again said, maybe because you are an orthopedic surgeon, that's why you are calling a spinach soup as a spinach soup, spine. And then again he started laughing. I also started laughing. And they were about to leave the room and then Maharaj looked back and said, but please don't start calling spine as spin. And again he started laughing. This is how a pure devotee, a sadhu, gives happiness to everyone. Recently, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj had come to Mira Road. Very, very exhaustive day Maharaj had gone through. And one of the devotees, His Grace, Gauranga Seva Prabhu, he is now, right now, is suffering, going through a terminal stage of a brain cancer. Very fast developing brain cancer. He has lost all perception of the time, space and people. What he speaks is completely non-comprehensive. And we requested, devotees requested that Maharaj if we can see this devotee for a few moments. Because probably this will be the last time he will be able to have darshan of his spiritual master in this body. And Maharaj very gracefully consented to come to see this devotee. And when Maharaj came to his house, amazingly, Maharaj, as soon as this devotee who was lying on a bed, he had a darshan of his spiritual master. He just tries to get up. He doesn't know what's happening. But he's just trying to get up from the bed. And then Maharaj chanted for him. Maharaj told him that Radha Gopinath ji, Gopal ji, Gaur Nittai ji, Srila Prabhupada are there with you. I am with you always. And then, to our surprise, his daughter-in-law provided Maharaj some prasad, some fruits and dates. And Maharaj said and started honoring this prasad. And that time, Shamarani, who was sitting, standing next to Prabhuji, she told, Prabhuji, Gaurangsaya Prabhuji, Maharaj is taking prasad. And to our surprise, Prabhuji spoke, it was my long, deep desire. Mercy, mercy. And that's all. He could formulate that sentence at that particular second, at that particular moment. That was his connection to his spiritual master. So Lord Kapil tells Mother Devahuti, a beautiful shloka that every learned man knows very well, that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But the same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotee, that opens the door of liberation. Very beautiful shloka. Further, he says that, O my mother, ta eta sadhava sadhavi sarva sanga vivarjitaha sangasteshu athate paprarthraya sanga dosha harahite sanga dosha harahite. O my mother, O virtuous lady, these are the qualities of a great devotees who are free from all attachment. You must seek attachment to such a holy man, for this counters the pernicious effects of this material attachment. Once, I think His Holiness Tamalkrishna Goswami Maharaj writes that he had a dream, and in the dream Srila Prabhupada was giving report to Supreme Personality of Godhead about activities of this world through the devotees of ISKCON. And this was in the initial days. And Srila Prabhupada said, although these young boys and young girls have no qualification, they have got one qualification, that they have got attachment, love for me. That is our greatest fortune. That Srila Prabhupada has given us through him, through his activity, this society, the glorious society called as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And through this society, if we develop attachment to these sadhus, these pure devotees, then one day, definitely, the door of a Supreme Lord's residence will be opened for us. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.